Shalom, shalom, everybody. It's the Restoration Hour time. I hope that you are ready. I think that we're ready. So, Yosef, I hope that you're ready. Welcome to the Restoration Hour. Not only the Restoration Hour, but welcome to the new biblical year. Whoop. You know, yesterday we were able to see the moon. And, you know, whether you follow the moon or not, it's fine. We don't get into debates about that. But what we do know is that it's the new biblical year. And that's all that's important. We did see the moon last night. And it was really, really tricky, almost a science, really, to go down to the beach and sit there. And the moon was very faint, but it was oh so beautiful when we did see it. And just that excitement, we realize again, you know, just how powerful it is when you actually live out scripture. Of course, we live out scripture on a daily basis, and we all should be like, you know, praying or, you know, eating your kosher food and doing your good things that Yahweh tells us that we need to do. But when you're doing something that feels very historical, it's actually quite special. It's quite almost, you know, very, very magical. And so seeing the moon and going, yes, you know, 2 weeks time, it's Passover. We enter into that very special season of Passover. Knowing that it's coming soon is absolutely a joy. And I pray that, you know, whatever you'll be doing will be blessed. You have some time to prepare for it, as we know that sometimes it just feels like it jumps upon us. And Yosef, happy new biblical year to you. It's so good to have you back here on the Restoration Hour. And you know what? It's just good to be in the space where we're going, okay, very, very soon is going to be this incredibly special time of Passover where we really get to reflect deeper on Yeshua and everything that he did for us.
Amen. I think that's so important, Aaliyah, what you just said about reflecting on Yeshua and what he has done for us. And it's always great to be on the Restoration Hour. I pray this evening, though, that this broadcast will really bless you this evening and that what we speak about will just resonate in your hearts. I know that we weren't on air last week, and unfortunately we weren't able to broadcast, but we're here this evening, and we're looking forward to what the Father has in store for us this evening. So let's pray, and then let us begin this evening. Father, we want to thank you so much for your love and your mercy. Father, we want to thank you that you are in control, Father, of everything that is going on at present within the world, Father, everything that is going on maybe in our own lives, in our surroundings around us, Father, you know the hardships, you know the joys, you know, Father, our desires and our wants, Father. And I pray this evening, Abba Father, that you will meet us at the point of need this evening, Father, not only at the point of need, but Father, that you will open up your word to us so that we can understand your love, the love that you have for us, Father, the love that Yeshua came to portray to us, Father, through his life, through his sacrifice, and through everything that he did. Father, his entire ministry, Father, speaks to us about how we, Father, can be saved and how we can live free. So we pray this evening, Father, speak to us, speak to our hearts, speak to our minds. Help us, Father, to be renewed, restored, and changed. And we thank you for this in Yeshua Mashiach's name. Amen.
Amen. Now, you know, as we talk about Passover and we are thinking about that, we also know that, again, it's all about Yeshua. Just today, we got asked a few questions about, you know, how do you celebrate Passover? What should be the focus? You know, what should be the perspective? And we know that it is all about Yeshua. The perspective should be Yeshua at the center of it all. You know, and I reflect back on when I first came into the feasts and all of that some 20 years ago, and really just every year celebrating Passover in a wonderful, you know, community. But we did the very traditional Passover that a lot of people still do. And I do remember often thinking that, you know, I felt very close to Yeshua, because it's a personal thing. If you feel close to Yeshua, you're going to be close to Yeshua. I always felt that way. But I always reflected that we were thinking so much about the Exodus, you know, and so much about Egypt and so much about that. Where did Yeshua come into it, you know? And I think that it's so important for us to be considering how we celebrate Passover, not just going with that which is tradition or that which is traditional, but, you know, to really reflect on the fact that Yeshua is that Passover lamb. Not only is he the lamb, the great high priest as well, but he's also our good shepherd that leads us. And really, really just walks with us each and every single day. And I think that that image of him is the one that we have to also take into Passover and ask ourselves, Yeshua, what are you saying to me this year? What is your word for me? Because each year there's a word for you that he wants to speak to you personally. And that's, I believe, truly that time that we need to be in, to be sitting with him saying, what is the vision you have for me? What is the dream you want for me? What is the message you have on your heart for me during this time? It is a sacred season. We can and we should get super excited about it. And we can also be in that space where he is ministering, you know, to us, and where we hear his voice. And I think him just, you know, being everything is so important, Yosef. You know, like we know in the past, sometimes we get, you know, we're in a congregation where there is that tradition that's happening, and we can get out of that and say, this is all about Yeshua. Our Passover, even our meal, is going to reflect that. And that's so important.
Amen. I think, Aaliyah, like you say, the importance of Passover should always reflect and point back to Yeshua and his work that he has done. That finished work, as he says, that work that he has completed and is continuing to complete in us as we partake of that sacrifice, but also as we live a set-apart life for him. And you know, you mentioned something important, and it was the phrase, the Good Shepherd. And you know, I've been sitting with this passage of scripture, and I want to read it to you this evening. But before I read that, I want to read from Psalm 23. And you know, we live in a world right now that is chaotic. That's the honest truth. When we turn on the television or we listen to the news, immediately it's just chaotic. Everything seems to be chaotic. No matter whether you are in United States or whether you're in South Africa, the truth of the matter is that the world is in a chaotic state. And we know, as the scriptures say, that darkness, we said this before, darkness will be over the people, darkness will be over the land, but Yahweh's glory and his truth will rise upon us. But more importantly than that, we need to be people of the covenant, people that reflect Yeshua, people that live in him. And if we are willing to do that, then we need to understand who Yeshua is. And Passover is that entry point. It's that entry point of coming into the family, coming into a relationship with Yeshua, but it's more than that. It's also about coming to understand the power that Yeshua gives to us because of who he is. And that he is the one that not only is our shepherd, but he delivers us. He delivers us just like we were delivered out of Egypt through Moshe. And Moshe delivered the people through Yahweh's power, and he did what Yahweh asked. We know that Moses and Yeshua type and foreshadow, and Yeshua being the superior person in the fact that he's the son of Yahweh. But do we really come to comprehend this truth of he is our good shepherd? No matter what is going on in the world, Yahweh has sent his son to deliver us. And I want to talk a little bit about what Psalm 23 says, and then about what is spoken here in John. You know, Psalm 23, it talks about Yahweh as our shepherd and being our good shepherd. And David writes it. And you know what's interesting? David is a shepherd. He was a shepherd boy, so he understands, you know, he understands this whole concept of looking after the sheep and how important it is. And you know, I was thinking, and I said it to Aaliyah, you know, one thing that's so strange is we don't like to say that, oh, I'm a sheep and I need to follow my shepherd. You know, it sounds kind of like, well, a sheep isn't really an animal like a wolf or a lion or a cheetah that goes out, attacks its prey, is a predator, is always out there on the scope. Instead, it's kind of like a sheep wanders around, eats grass, needs a shepherd to call it to come back, goes out in the morning, comes back in the evening, wanders around, and they get lost. That's the honest truth. Sheep get lost, and they need the shepherd, and the shepherd's voice is important to them because they need that intimacy and that companionship of the shepherd. And we as believers in Messiah Yeshua, we are called his sheep. And I think for many believers, they don't want to be called a sheep because it sounds like, oh, but then I'm dumb. But it's not. It's that reliance that in ourselves we are incomplete, in the fact that we cannot be alone in communion with the Father. We need a shepherd to lead us through still waters, through the things that we go on in life. And David, when he writes in Psalm 23, he's writing specifically about the fact that Yahweh is our good shepherd, and that even though we go through all these things, he's there. Listen to what he says. He says, a Psalm of David, Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Maybe this evening you're listening and you're saying, well, you know what? I need to have my soul restored. And that's the truth. And we run to so many other things, Aaliyah. We run to leaders. We run to teachings here and there. Teachings are good. But if we're not rooted in Messiah Yeshua and we're just running after those things and we're not receiving Yeshua's truth on what we should be listening to, we land up in a place where our soul is barren. Our soul is empty and we're receiving information, but we're not receiving germination. We're not revitalizing our hearts because Yeshua is not the root. So he goes on and he says, he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And then he says this, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. He's talking about those things that the shepherd had to look after the sheep. And he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Think about this. So he's saying that Yahweh is this good shepherd. And even though we lack, even though sometimes in life things get difficult and we don't have, he's saying, you know what? The good shepherd will give you. Just like he's going to look after the sheep and take them to the right place, he's going to look after us. And he talks about all this and he says, you know, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I want to say to you this evening, when we in covenant with Yeshua and we're walking with Yeshua and we understanding who he is not only our father, our daddy, but he's our shepherd. And you know what's interesting is that not only is he our shepherd, but he is also the lamb that takes away the sins. And you know, there's this connection between him being a shepherd, but at the same time being the perfect lamb that was slain to take away our sins. And you know, in John chapter 10, Aaliyah, the Pharisees are talking to Yeshua and they actually against him because he had just given sight to a blind man. He had just done what the scriptures say when he said, I have come in Isaiah, I've come to give sight to the blind, to give release to the captives, to proclaim the acceptable year of Yahweh. That's what he came to do. And just before that, he actually talks to a woman and he heals a woman. And then there's this passage before John chapter 10 where he heals this man that was blind, for he was born blind. And
you know, Yosef, it's very, very helpful if you put markers into your Bible so that you're not paging.
I got it.
I'm sure that everybody was like, what is that sound? It's but maybe you didn't hear it. I just wanted to add here quickly, you know, that John chapter 10 is actually very special because John writes always about that love of Yeshua and how he's responding to people with so much dignity and so much love, even though, you know, sometimes the people that he heals aren't actually the best people because they go and they speak about him and, you know, they try and get him in trouble through the miracles that they receive. And, you know, this is a very special passage in John chapter 10 where he speaks about being that shepherd, where he is referring to himself, and I know you're going to read it, as so different from the leaders that were around at that time. And I think that's also very important. You know, even now when we live in our modern world, I feel I just did that teaching on the gift of discernment. And when I was really going through all these scriptures and really just seeing what the Father says in his word about having discernment, a big time part of having discernment is discerning false teachers, false teachings, you know, false leaders, false shepherds, false, you know, apostles and false prophets and false people that come to you disguised as being a good shepherd or a good person that's interested in your goodness, but is actually not. Mm. And that we have to discern. We have to know what is what. Mm. There are many people siding with the Pharisees and the scribes. We saw that when Yeshua got put to death, you know, the crowds were following these leaders that they looked up to, but they weren't good. And I think it's so important that we realize, and I think that we see Yeshua as the shepherd. Like you said, we are sheep and we need to follow a shepherd around and we need that voice and we need to hear that voice. We need to follow it. But I think, do we ever realize that Yeshua is good? That essence of just of goodness. Mm. There's so little goodness in the world that we see on a day-to-day basis, like you said earlier on, that we can miss the fact that Yeshua is good. Not only is he just a shepherd, he's a good shepherd. He's a good shepherd that is so concerned about our hearts, so concerned about our lives, so concerned about our souls, so concerned about every part of us and our destiny and our future and everything that we put our hands to do. And even this week, before we read the scripture, I want to say that, you know, even this week, there was something I was praying about. And I was praying about it and it seemed a very small thing. And I suddenly thought, well, you know, Yahweh, you're probably very busy dealing with things like war, famine, plague, refugees, you know, people dying, that I feel very, you know, like I shouldn't be praying about such small things. And it's so weird because it's the first time that I've ever felt that way, because I don't normally feel that way. I normally feel, you know, I can ask Yahweh anything. And I think that in that moment, I realized actually this is not how I should feel, even though my heart is breaking for all these other things. That's a very human response to have. Well, Yahweh has got to, you know, the war in Ukraine is very important. And so that should be the focus. It shouldn't be my problem. But I think that what we forget is that Yahweh, Yeshua, is good. Mm-hmm. And that he cares about everything. He cares about the people suffering in Ukraine, but he also cares about me. Mm-hmm. He cares about the refugees that have been suffering in Yemen for 10 years. And he cares about me, and he cares about you listening, and he cares about your neighbor that's struggling with cancer, and he cares about you, and he cares about, you know, someone that's just lost someone they love, and he cares about you. And I think that sometimes as human beings, we can get into this place to go, well, you know, he should be cared about, you know, I'm not struggling with cancer, or I'm not dealing with war, I haven't lost a loved one, so, you know, I must just be grateful and I'm okay. And Yahweh need, and you know, my focus should be praying for those people. But Yahweh really, you know, really just laid on my heart this week that that's not the truth. He cares about everything. And because he's good, he does care about all those things. And he sees our hearts that we care about those things sometimes. That's why we feel like we shouldn't be praying for ourselves. But he also says that I am the good shepherd, and he's cared about every single one of the sheep. He's not saying that sheep over there is more important than this sheep here. He doesn't leave you and, you know, just like be like, oh, you take care of yourself. He is good. And I think, Yosef, my prayer is to experience and understand and know more of what that really encompasses and what that really means. Because there is so much darkness upon the earth right now. We behold darkness every day and we see a lot of it. Even in the things we care about, we're praying against the darkness. So may we have a revelation of his goodness in our lives, all of us, to see the fullness of what goodness really looks like to Yahweh. Yes, it can be, you know, something we behold in this earth, but, you know, to see Yahweh as good in himself, and to see what that really means is very, very special. And I pray that that will be a fresh revelation during this Passover season.
Amen. You know, Leah, like I said, this passage actually goes from chapter 9, or actually before that, it starts already in chapter 8. And it's important because there's the passage where it talks about that he is the light of the world. And then it goes on and it talks about the man, like I said, that was blind, and he was born blind. And the Pharisees are upset with Yeshua because he has given this man his sight, and they go and ask his parents, like, what is going on? And they are worried because they know that if they say anything about Yeshua, then they'll be in trouble. So they say, well, you need to go and ask my son. He is of his own age, and this man testifies that Yeshua healed him. And what's important about this passage is that they are then upset with Yeshua, and they become basically enraged with him because of these healings that he's doing. And Yeshua gets upset with them, and he comments and says, you know, there are these shepherds that are going out, these hired hands and these people that are working among, you know, the sheep. And he uses that analogy, and he explains that they are not worried or interested in the actual sheep, but instead they are interested in their own gain. And that was the context that Yeshua was talking about. But it applies to us also in a deeper sense, because he's talking here, and he's actually first and foremost saying, you know, I am the light of the world. And we know that Yeshua is the light of the world. But what's important is that Yeshua illuminates the light within us. He shows us who we are, but he also shows us who he is. And then he goes on and he gives this man that has been blind his entire life, he gives him his sight. And this man is able to see again, and he's able to rejoice in that fact. But Yeshua is fulfilling what he came to do, that he said, I have come to give sight to the blind, to give freedom to the captives. And then he says something very interesting. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired worker is not the shepherd, and the sheep are not his own. He sees the wolf coming and abandons the sheep and flees. Then the wolf snatches and scatters the sheep, and the man is only a hired hand and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. And you know, Elia, that word that is actually used in this passage where he says, I am the good shepherd. He's not saying I am the shepherd. He's saying I am the good shepherd. And it's the emphasis is on the word good. And if you actually look at that word in its original form, it's actually talking about I am the righteous shepherd. In other words, I am the one that will protect. I am the one that will guide. I am the one that will lead you. I am the one that will put my hand over you. But more importantly, I am willing to lay my life down so that you can receive that life. Just like he was willing over there, no matter how much these Pharisees were going to try and attack him, he was willing to give that man sight to his eyesight, no matter whether they were going to kill him or not. He knew that his time wasn't yet, but they tried here to actually kill him. It goes on and it says that they tried further on when he goes to Hanukkah. He goes to Hanukkah and he's talking to them and they're asking him, are you the Messiah? Then he tells them and he says, yes, I was sent by my father, and they try to kill him and he sneaks away. So why is this important to us this evening? Because right here, Yeshua is saying to us, listen, I am not just some shepherd that has been sent or some person that's sent to teach you or to guide you or to cause you to be religious. I am the good shepherd that leads you to the Father. I am the one that has come to give sight to the blind and to be the light to the world. I am the one that's saying to you that my life, and he was talking here saying, you know what? I'm going to lay my life down. He's saying that I'm willing to do this, and he was going to do it. So this is why it's so important that we understand, like you said when we began, that Passover is all about Yeshua, because Yeshua came to fulfill what the Passover speaks about. But so many people, Elia, are stuck in the old of the Passover, the traditions that are found sometimes even not even in the scriptures. A lot of the traditions are found in the rabbinical teachings or in the Talmud. But the truth of the matter is, Yeshua said, do this in remembrance of me. Why? Because he wants us to remember the fact that he is the good shepherd, that he's the one who lays his life down, that he's the lamb that John saw when he was about to mikveh him and said, behold, the lamb who takes away the sins of the world. When we understand that, then we understand that we don't have a person that is fleshly. We have a Messiah that is holy and righteous and true that can deliver us from all these things that we're facing in the world today. Whether it be fears of people, whether it be fear of your future, fear of your finances, fear that one day, you know, everything's going to fall apart. Yeshua says, listen, I am your good shepherd. I'm not going to lead you to a place where you won't have food. I'm not going to lead you to a place where the wolves and the trials and the tribulations of this world are going to come and devour you. I won't take you there. I will stay with you. And you know what's so important? We opened this evening with that song by Corrie Asburn, which sings about that one where it says that, you know, he will leave the 99 and go after the one. And it's important that we understand that, because Yeshua throughout the scriptures is talking about, I am the good shepherd. I'm willing to leave the one. I'm willing to go and get those 99. I'm willing to leave the 99, sorry me, and go and get the one. And I think tonight what Yeshua is trying to say is, maybe you are that one. Maybe you're sitting there tonight and you're saying, you know what, I feel like I'm that one. I feel like I'm wandering off. I feel sometimes like I don't know where I'm going. And Yeshua is saying to us this evening, listen, I am the good shepherd and I love you, and I have not willing to lay my life down. I've done it already. That's what Yeshua is saying. I have laid my life down. And because I've laid my life down, you can receive deliverance. You can receive this new life, this life that is lived in me. And that is what the Passover should be about him and his life and his love.
And I love that. We're going to go to our first song of the evening. Yes, we started off today, you know, playing that song, Reckless Love. And yes, it is one of my favorites. And I haven't heard it in quite a long time. It was so good to hear that song again. We're going to play for you now, More Than Enough. And we pray that you will enjoy this song. And we will see you when we get back. More than enough for me.
more than enough for me. Jesus, you're more than enough, more than enough for me. More than enough, more than enough for me. You surround me with goodness. You're like the fragrance of spring. Your love's overwhelming. It's my favorite thing. I'm safe in your arms now. I can hear your heartbeat. You're all I need. All I need, you're all I need. All I need, more than enough for me. More than enough for me. Jesus, you're more than enough. You're more than enough. You're the God of the promise, never too far from us. You're still good, you're still God. You're more than enough. When the river looks empty, I'll keep moving. Oh, you're still good, you're still God. You're more than enough. God of the promise, never too far from us. You're still good, you're still God. You're more than enough. Oh, you're still good, you're still God. You're more than enough. More than enough, more than enough for me. More than enough for me.
Such a cool song, more than enough. You know, I was doing the same thing that I told Yosef not to do earlier on. That was page through your Bible like a wild, frantic animal. Welcome back to the Restoration Hour. Yes, you know what? I was busy sitting listening to that song and it was just so awesome. And then reflecting on, you know, the next little bit that I want to share with you today. And, you know, just stumbled upon a really beautiful scripture in 1 Peter. And you know, it's so incredible, Yosef. You know, we're reflecting on Psalm 23, which I'm going to, you know, talk a little bit more about. And then we're talking about John 10, which talks about Yeshua being the good shepherd. But also in Hebrews 13:20, it actually says that Yeshua is the great shepherd. Mm. You know, he's not just the good shepherd, it's this almost this revelation of Yeshua as the good shepherd. And then it says he is the great shepherd in Hebrews 13:20. And then in 1 Peter 5:4, it actually says, and when the chief shepherd arrives, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. It almost seems to me like these are deeper revelations, you know, the good, perfect, pleasing, you know, the good, pleasing, perfect will of Yahweh. It's this good shepherd. And then you have this, you know, chief shepherd, you have this great shepherd. It's this revelation of who he is and who he's going to continue to be. And one of the things that I wanted to say here, when we encounter Psalm 23, now I don't know about you, but Psalm 23 was the scripture that my mom taught to me over and over again. Now my mom, not, you know, going to church or not really being saved at all, but knew Psalm 23. It is this kind of hallmark scripture that we all just know. But, you know, she taught it to me, and I remember saying it and speaking it out many times, even before I was saved. And the comfort that it actually used to bring me, even as a non-saved person, but who did believe that there was a God and that, you know, the Bible was true somehow, used to bring me a lot of comfort. And I want to say to you that, you know, David describes Yahweh as the shepherd, like you said, because David knew that. But also, he actually here is speaking about sheep who are completely dependent on the shepherd for provision, guidance, and protection. But then also, he says something very, very interesting, that the focus of Psalm 23 is not actually on just a sheep, you know, like just a sheep wandering around. These are actually disciple-like qualities. Mm-hmm. This is a sheep that is well discipled. Yosef and I actually took a drive somewhere 2 weeks ago, and we were driving, and it's a beautiful area where there's a lot of, you know, open ground, and we saw loads of sheep, and they were walking in a row, and the row was really, really long. You know, you couldn't see the beginning of the row of sheep. They were just walking, and they're walking kind of in single file, and some were running alongside each other, and they were very cute. And I still said to Yosef, I can't see the shepherd. There must have been someone that was with them, but that person was right at the front, and this line was long. And it really revealed to me what David is trying to say here, that, you know, Yahweh is my shepherd, and we need to follow him. Yeshua says he's the good shepherd. The sheep know his voice. So that is the big thing, that the sheep know his voice. This is the disciple-like qualities. We see here someone that's saying, you know, Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Or in other translations, it says, I shall not lack. Mm-hmm. And it's just a sense of saying, even though, I don't think that David means that you will never be without, or that you'll never have those experiences. But even in that experience of feeling like you have that lack, or you're still praying for your family and they haven't yet got saved, or you're still praying for a work situation, things haven't yet turned around, you're still, you know, praying for a health turnaround, you know, in your health, or you're still waiting for something to break through. You're still praying for, you know, even bigger things, maybe. You know, maybe you're praying for the nations to be impacted by Yahweh's truth. Maybe you're just praying for your neighbors to be impacted. The seeds that you've sown will be watered. It's that sense of saying, even though we wait for that, you know, you're not lacking in anything. So it's not about never being in a space where you don't have, but it's about just sensing and knowing with full confidence and faith that even though that is your situation, you're still waiting for the doors to open or things to change, you still have a faith and a confidence that Yahweh is your shepherd, and therefore you will not be in want, or you won't be in lack. And when he says he makes me lie down in green pastures, that's that sense of peace. That's that sense of rest. You know, there's that sense of peace and rest that we all need in our lives. I don't know about you, but sometimes life gets really hectic and it can be quite overwhelming. And that's where that intimate relationship comes from, to have that shalom in that moment, to have that shalom in everything that faces you. And that's a disciple. A disciple has that peace even in those situations that are really, really hard. And then it says, he leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. You know, life also gets hectic. The traumas that we have been through in our lives also take the peace from our soul. And I know for me that Yahweh said to me so specifically when I was in a place where I was dealing with so much trauma and so many things that had happened in my life and external things, that he said, I will restore you. I will restore your soul. And you know, that for me gave me the greatest peace, because that restoration of your soul means that there is a wholeness that will come to you. He cares about you. You know, he cares about me. He cares about you today. He cares about what you've been through in the past. He cares about what you went through yesterday. And he cares about what you went through today. The sum total of our experiences from our childhood to our teenage years, our adult years, and everything in between. And if any of that stole peace, or stole identity, or stole your purpose from you, or stole who you really are from you, he says, I will restore you. I will restore your soul. Because that is what he promises to do as a shepherd. As the good shepherd, he promises to be with us. He promises to still heal us regardless, like you said, Yosef, of the situation. And I think that's very powerful. Yeshua still chose to heal that blind man, even though he knew he would face opposition. even though he knew that it would add fuel to the fire of the jealousy that was already stirring in the hearts of the people, he still chose to do it. And I think that him being the good shepherd like that, he exemplifies that, but it's also an example to us. Regardless of what faces us, if we know that Yahweh is telling us to do something, then with all of our hearts, we do it. Yes, even though it fuels the fire of other people's jealousy, or it fuels the fire of other people's persecution, whatever we are meant to do, we need to do, because what we do becomes a good thing for the person that we are doing it for, even if we face opposition from other people. It's an example for us to follow that regardless of opposition, regardless of what this means, it still means that I need to be who I'm created to be. You know, this is something we've spoken about so many times about marriage. You know, there are often times when people get married and they're unequally yoked. And then you'll find the person who is saved and who is serving Yeshua, they're the ones that begin slipping. The other person that's, you know, not saved or mediocre, it's always interesting that they hardly ever get pulled up. You know, they always bring the other person down. But regardless of that situation, if you truly believe that you're called to follow Yeshua, which I hope that most people believe that, then you need to be who you created to be, even though the opposition might come from within your marriage, within your family, within your friendship circles, doesn't matter what. Just be who Yahweh created you to be. And I think that that's the example of what it means to be good as well. Yeshua wasn't interested what was going to happen. He just followed what his father wanted him to do. And added to that, Joseph, I also just want to add that there was another time where Yeshua was in the Galilee area where he was healing so many people. And it was a time where it was, you know, kind of, there was towards the middle or so, just the beginning of his public ministry. And the people recognized him as this great man of God. You know, they recognized the calling of Yahweh on his life. I don't know if they thought he was the Messiah, but they definitely saw him as a kingly figure. And what did the crowd want to do with him? It said that the crowd wanted to make Yeshua their king over them. And you know what Yeshua did? He just went straight through the middle of them and he walked away from them. You know why? Because that was not what he came to do. And he wasn't going to fulfill anyone else's expectations of him. He knew that he wanted to be busy at his father's work. And that's a challenge to us today as well, and an encouragement to us. Be busy with your father's work. Be busy with what Yahweh calls you to. You know what? Sometimes people can even notice something in you that's good, that's godly, that's gifted, that's great, that's awesome, that's anointed. And they want to take that thing in your life and put it on a pedestal and say, yes, wow, you can sing. You're going to be our worship leader. Is that what Yahweh really wants for your life? And if it's not, then you walk through that crowd and you do not have to fill anyone's expectations. You don't have to explain and you don't have to complain about it. You just walk straight through and you say, you know what? This is not what God has called me for. You don't have to live up to ungodly expectations, but you've also got to know who you are. Yeshua could be the good shepherd to us because he fully knew who he was called to be. And then he can be the chief shepherd because he is the only one, the highest one. And then he can be the great shepherd, especially when he returns, which is what Peter is talking about in 1 Peter 5. When Yeshua returns, we're going to see him as the great shepherd. And in that, he's going to be even greater in his goodness because he's going to give us the crown of life, the crown of glory that's never going to fade away.
You know, Leah, I think, you know, when we listen to what he says about himself and what David's writing here, like you said, all these you know, things that David talks about, is speaking about a person that is mature, a person that is allowing the Spirit of Yahweh to lead them. And, you know, I'm reminded of the passage in Revelation that says, you know, the 144,000, it talks about them, and I know we mention them often, but take that away, and what it says, let's just use it as an example and say, you know, the believers, it says the 144,000 follow the Lamb wherever he goes. And I believe that when we in covenant with the Father and we're allowing that good shepherd, like you say, to do all these things that is spoken about in Psalm 23, to lead us, to lead us and guide us in paths of righteousness, to when we go through the valley of the shadow of death, he's with us, to allow that restoration to take place in our lives, but also the intimacy that comes with it to be built in us. then we will follow the Lamb wherever he goes. And again, then he becomes not only the Good Shepherd, but he's the one that leads us and guides us, as we saw with that, you know, those sheep following. It's important that we don't follow other people, but that we follow Yeshua. Mm-hmm. I think oftentimes we land up following others and we think that they're following Yeshua, but we haven't checked and we haven't, you know, seen if they really are following the Father. And it's important that we do that, because when we do, and when we mature and when we grow, then these things here that are spoken about in verse 6, it says, then goodness and mercy will follow us, which I think a lot of times we want the goodness and we want the mercy of the Father. And it continues and it says something very important. A true disciple that has that intimate relationship with Yeshua, that has been delivered, set free, walking in his truth, will live in what this verse says. They will have goodness, they will have mercy, and this will follow them all the days of their lives. But more importantly, they will dwell in the presence, in the house of Yahweh, and you will have this desire to be in his presence. And when we are in his presence, that's where change takes place, and that's where we get to learn to hear his voice. And it's so important that we understand that.
You know, it's so interesting that in some translations it actually says that goodness and mercy will overtake me. You know, there's such an abundance of Yahweh's goodness, there's that word goodness again, such an abundance of his love, such an abundance of his mercy, that when we walk with him, even though it gets tough, and it does get tough, you know, those things pursue us and they overtake us. We cannot outrun his goodness. We cannot outrun his love. We experience it over and over again. And going back to, you know, verse 3, it says that he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know, that is the essence of following the Good Shepherd, because the paths that he leads us in sometimes may seem strange to us, or the things that he requires us to do, or the way that he leads us, the job he tells us to give up, or the friendship he tells us to let go of, or the person he tells us to minister to that has a really, really hard heart, or the thing that he calls us to do that's requiring so much of us, we don't know how much more that, you know, we can give. And if he's fully calling us to that place, this is a path of righteousness that he leads us in, and it's for our best interest. It's when we go our own way and choose our own path that we are not experiencing his goodness anymore. And it's actually us working against our own best interest, if you think about it. He also says, though, that, and I really like verse 5 that says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. You know, that's actually an ancient and Eastern custom that actually happened, as there's so many customs that we miss out on when we just read the Bible like this, that when a guest came to have a dinner by your house, or they came to stay in your house, whether it be for a night or whatever, you would actually present them and provide them with fragrant oil, you know, because maybe you had a long journey, or just because it was a gift that you were given by the host, and it was given to you as a gift, and you could put it on you and you could, you know, be refreshed, and you felt refreshed. But also from a shepherding perspective, shepherds actually used to, I don't know if they do it anymore today, and I really think that they do, but I know that I've read many times that shepherds will anoint the head of the sheep with a kind of oil, with a kind of specific kind of oil that keeps certain kinds of fleas and mites and all these kind of things that pester them, because they get into the ears of the sheep and then they actually harm the sheep, and the sheep will actually bang their head onto a tree because they get so, so irritated, and sometimes they can actually kill themselves. So shepherds will do that and put this special mixture of oil on them to protect them from that which can harm them, and from them harming themselves. And so there's so much that Yahweh does for us. We are given the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And when we hear and listen to the Holy Spirit, that discernment, that guidance, you know, the Spirit that leads us into truth, the Spirit that helps us, we have to entertain that Spirit. We have to have the fire of his presence, the fire of that Spirit. Then we will be in a place where we can walk on the paths of righteousness, because we're listening to truth, and we can, you know, really, really just not go in the way of our own interests, but go in the way of the best interests that the Good Shepherd leads us to. And then we can truly have those disciple-like qualities, leading, guiding, and really, really just being in that space where Abba Father is with us. We are with him and he's just leading us. And then that goodness and that mercy and that love overtaking us. Amen. And that word goodness is coming up a lot this evening.
It's good.
I feel like, you know, it's good. I feel Yahweh is trying to say to us that he is good. You know, he is good. And whatever that means, we need to receive it. Yes, we can have a kind of a thought of what good looks like. You know, all of us, it's good as a word is very abstract, right? It's very personal. What I think is good might not be good to you. But Yahweh is good, and he's saying that I'm good. I'm the good shepherd. I want to lead you in good paths. I want to give you good things. I want to anoint your head with good oil. I want to satisfy your soul with good things, and I want to be there for you. Again, my prayer is, as I said halfway through, that his goodness will be revealed to us in such a powerful way. We're going to go to our final song of the evening called Echo Holy, and we want you to be able to put down any prayer requests that you have. If you want us to pray for you, please, you know, put down a prayer request and we'll pray for you when we get back.
Gathered at the highest throne, welcomed by a melody, an anthem I have always known, a song that's always been. All glory and honor, dominion and power to you. A million angels fall, face down on the floor, all to echo, holy is the Lord. My heart can't help but sing, with all of heaven roar, forever echo. By every heart, written in eternity, every lifted voice apart is joining in the symphony. All glory and honor, dominion and power to you alone, God.
Father, we want to come to you this evening and say thank you, Abba Father. Thank you that you are faithful. Thank you, Father, that you are full of compassion and loving and gracious. And Father, this evening we really want to thank you, Father, for Yeshua, that he is our good shepherd. And Father, that we are not sheep, Father, wandering around without a shepherd. But Father, that you have given us your Son, Yeshua, to guide us into all truth, Father. And we thank you that he came, Father, to lay his life down for us so that we can be, Father, that representation and that image, Father, that you want us to be. Father, I really want to pray this evening, Father, over all your people that are here this evening, Yahweh. Father, we want to pray that you will bless and keep them, Father, that you will make your face to shine upon them and give them true shalom. I pray, Father, this evening for Jody, Father, that you will bless her, Father, and that she will come to a point, Yahweh, where she will be able to not only trust your will, Father, but move in your will, Father, and live your will out more and more in her life. I also pray, Father, for her father. And I know, Abba Father, how difficult it is when our fathers or our families or our mothers get cancer, Father. And we pray, Abba Father, that you will be with him and strengthen him. Not only him, Father, but the entire family. And Father, as he goes for his first round of chemo, Father, we pray for your hand upon him. And Father, that you will just strengthen him, Father, and give him the ability, Father, to get through his treatment, Father. And we pray for that over his life in the name of Yeshua. Father, we thank you this evening that you are for us and not against us. And Father, that you really want our lives, Father, to reflect the life of your Son Yeshua. And I pray this evening, Father, that we will continue to endeavor, Father, to seek your face, to trust you, Father, and to walk in your ways continually. We also pray, Father, that as we prepare for Passover, that you will guide us and lead us. Father, that this Pesach season, Father, will be a time of refreshing and drawing closer to you in every way, Father, and we thank you for this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Father, we also just pray for Davi with all the stress that he has been experiencing at work. Father, we just really pray for him. We lift him up in the mighty name of Yeshua. Father, I pray that you'll be with him, that you'll give him strength, that you'll give him peace, that you'll give him clarity, Father, and wisdom and guidance, Father, in every single thing that he does, Father, that you'll give him favor. Give him favor with the people that he is with, Father, and remove the people from him, Father, that are not good, Father, that are not of you. Yeah. And Father, may you just be with him, Father, hold him in the palm of your hand. May he really experience your guidance and your wisdom and leadership. And we pray for Debbie as well, that Abba Father, you will just bless her, that you'll keep her, that you'll make your face to shine upon her. And Father, that you'll just give her great grace and great comfort and great shalom. Father, I pray that she will hear your voice, Father, in the morning. Father, when she wakes up, Father, I pray that she will hear your voice speaking to her, Father, as she seeks you, Father. And as she's just in the stillness, Father, I pray that you will really speak to her. And in those moments, Father, that she'll experience your peace, Father, and your deep, deep peace, Father, and your deep presence, Father, and the beauty of your presence and that stillness. And we pray a blessing over their marriage, over their home, over their families, over their children. And Father, that you'll just be with them as a family. And Father, that you'll just shine your great grace upon them. Father, we also lift Marilise up to you today. And we really pray, Father, for this unspoken prayer request. That Father, whatever you want to speak to her heart, may her heart just be so open, Father Yahweh, to receive your will, your word, Father, your truth, your guidance, your leadership, Father. I pray right now that, Father, it will be like clouds, Father, departing, that the sun will shine through, and that Marilise will be able to see, Father, what you want to show her, Father. And Father, that you'll just illuminate what she needs to see, Father, what she needs to behold, Father. And I pray that any form of anything that feels like a darkness or like a cloudedness, Father, or like a mist or like a fog or like anything like that, that Father, you will just move it, Father, by your strong and mighty hand, and that the sun, the true sun, will just shine upon her life, Father, that there will be peace, that there will be joy restored, that there will be wisdom, that there will be grace, Father, that there will be a fresh anointing over her heart and over her life, that she will experience, Father, resurrection power within her, Father, in any place that feels hard, Father, feels like it's been, you know, like death, Father, or like a darkness, Father, that she will experience resurrection power from you, Father, that she will experience a revitalizing in herself, Father. I pray for strength for Marilise, and that, Father, you will really be with her in your power, in your strength. Give her a fresh anointing, Father, fresh faith, fresh eyesight to see, Father, the things that lay before her that she needs to see. Help her work out the problems that she faces, Father, if it's problems on paper or problems just around, Father, help her be able to have such a surety of wisdom, Father, that she'll be able to piece everything together in such a miraculous way, Father, that she will be astounded, Father, at how you're going to bring solutions from problems that look like algebra, Father. I pray that you will give her such wisdom, but also that your hand will move, Father, across the page, and that, Father, she will experience, Father, the solutions, the answers, Father, everything that you want to show her, Father, that it's going to be 3D, Father, and that's going to be absolutely the answers to everything and the formulas that she needs to follow and to put into practice, put into place in the days that are before her, in the week that lay ahead, Father, in the month that is coming. And Father, we pray that you will bless her, that you will keep her, make your face to shine upon her, Father. And Father, may she experience your anointing, your grace, your truth, and your love. And may mercy and love overflow in her life in the mighty name of Yeshua. Father, tonight as we are gathered, I lastly want to just lift up everything that we see happening in our world. Father, we know that in our hearts, we feel sad sometimes, Father, when we look at the world and we see the suffering of people. And today we pray for your hand to move, Father, for you to protect your people across different continents and nations, Father, for you to raise up righteous people, Father, that will speak your words of comfort and truth in this time into many different people's hearts and lives. Father, we pray that you will not forget the suffering of people. But Father, just like you saved Nineveh because they repented and there were a great number of people and animals, we pray that, Father, you will speak your words of truth to many different nations, Father, and that, Father, you will see the suffering and you will spare them because of, Father Yahweh, your love, Father. We know that you are still at work in our lives, but also at work in the lives of people in this world, Father. And we really, really pray, Yahweh, that you will just be with them, Yeshua, and that you will be with our people that we love and care for today. And Father, that you'll be with our families and our loved ones. And Father, those who are near to us and those who are far. And we thank you for this, Father. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Prepare our hearts for Passover and speak to us of your goodness. In the mighty name of Yeshua Mashiach, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
It's been so good to be with you all on the Restoration Hour today. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been a blessing as always. Cannot wait to be with you next week. Shalom, shalom, and may Yahweh richly bless you in this new year as we look forward to Passover. Take care.
Shalom.
Let me return to you.